Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
65.
Number 65.
The legal IQ to run for office in Texas.
And Idaho, incidentally.
Probably. There's nobody with a 65 IQ in Idaho. What are you, crazy? So, big week. You hear rattling in your left ear here. That's
Sorry.
That's Scott adjusting his stand.
That's what we're calling it these days, huh?
I guess big 2 weeks, because it's been a while.
Oh, it has been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks. I tried to get some Gen Con interviews and found that I was at the booth the whole time.
Oh,
well. Solid. Just at the booth or at screenings, running them. So, yay.
Yay, work.
Yeah, and then, there was a Gen Con, just Gen Con tragedies all over the place. Flight out got canceled.
Oh, nice.
Because DFW flooded or something like that. Yeah, Texas dry as shit, except for when Andy has to fly.
Yep.
Still, not a... I mean, that's a fucking first world problem. I'll take it. Not a big deal. Just still tired from it, you know? But obviously, a lot of really shitty, somber news in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Lots. Even today. Today.
Yeah, today.
David Attenborough.
Yep.
Richard Attenborough. Which Attenborough? Richard Attenborough.
Richard.
Sorry, David. You're still alive. Richard Attenborough. 90 years old, though. Good run.
Yeah, good run. Died. Lauren Bacall, good run.
Lauren Bacall, good run.
89, 87?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You know, and so Jurassic Park, the newest Jurassic Park. Well, no, I think it's finished, right?
I don't know.
Chris Pratt. I don't know. I hope he's in there. I hope Hammond's in there. Even if it's like stock footage or something.
Oh, Chris Pratt's in the Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That guy's...
He's getting around.
Yeah.
I get around, round, round, round.
I get around. In the round.
In the round. Obviously, some really, really shitty things going on in this country right now.
Yeah.
Ferguson, Missouri. All right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and put on this is my real Andy hat, non-character hat. The police should never be the military. There were constitutional things put in about that very issue. In fact, the Second Amendment is about kind of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I don't see the NRA out there protesting that, you know, this is police brutality. It's obviously a race issue. I mean, it really is just comes down to race. It's a shitty, shitty fucking situation, and you should go educate yourself about it. And that's all that a fat white guy is going to say about that. Other than, fuck, it is fucked up.
And I'm just going to keep my mouth closed, or this will all devolve into a non-arable podcast.
We can have a fight about it, but the fact of the matter is the video got released.
And that's great. Mm. But everything leading up to the video mm-hmm. and everything else that everybody's bitching about mm-hmm. is because the media is a bunch of fucking vultures that don't wait for shit to actually get released, nor actually get out a message that has anything of import. They just want to stir the pot so that they got some place to camp out for a while.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's true. That's totally true.
And
I will give you that.
Everything past that for me is moot, because it should never have happened.
But even even people, human beings with cameras out there, are getting shot at. Like, general public who are trying to record this,
yeah.
They're getting tear gas canister shot at them. Like, we're talking the same kind of artillery that they are using in war zones.
Right.
Is getting shot at them by fucking Andy and Barney.
Right.
That's fucked up.
I get that, but it's escalated.
It's all poisoned fruit.
It's all poisoned fruit because of people not waiting until they had all the facts, and they spout a bunch of hyperbole, and everybody wants to get on and get famous, And that's what happens. And everybody has an outrage. And
so just out of curiosity, what would you have had? So would you prefer that nothing got out? Because that's kind of the status quo for these types of shootings.
I would prefer that it went like this. A person was shot. When we have information, we'll let you know what happened. End of story.
Okay.
I want all of it to be that way. I'm tired of instantaneous bullshit that goes off half-cocked. Whether it's right or wrong, to me, immaterial. When you have something that is concrete and isn't speculation and all this other stuff that just hypes everybody up, and everybody wants to get on a pulpit and wants to get out there and speaking and, you know.
I see where you're coming from. I do see where you're coming
because
from.
Because that just escalates the fervor into a pitch point that then there has to be overcompensation. Police didn't show up the first night. All the business owners got pissed off because their shops all got vandalized. So now the police has to have a presence. Oh no, now it's this. And so everything escalates to a point that you can't come back from. Whereas if it's just, I mean, there's the guy in Seattle that got shot. He got tased twice, had a broken bottle in his hand, and fell on a cop, and they shot him to death. Now, I sit there and think, why do you have to shoot to kill? Shoot him in the thigh. Disable him. But in today's world, that doesn't exist.
Well, we had the deaf guy who had a whittling knife.
Right.
Who got shot repeatedly, I believe in the back, because he couldn't hear the cops' orders. You know, my concern is this. My concern is the only reason that we're hearing about it's not increasing in frequency. This is not increasing in frequency.
Right.
You're starting to see it. There's a difference between increasing in frequency and being less opaque. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing is less opaque. So dealing with, because you're right, the media is fucking, well, first of all, the media is corporate owned anyway.
Right.
Halliburton's, the thing the media is not reporting on is what type of artillery is being used. Why? Right. Because the fucking people who make that artillery own the media, right?
Right.
I'm talking more about Twitter. I'm talking more about social media, human media. But even that, like, is like 20% plants these days.
Oh yeah.
So it's really difficult to get the right information.
And that's all that I'm talking about. I agree with the injustice. I agree with
you agree all the with shit. The injustice. I know what you mean.
Okay, thank you.
You agree that it is an injustice.
Correct.
Right.
But it's just the methodology of how we're getting there and how quick we are to jump on something before we really know everything.
Right. It's only going to get quicker, too, though. That's the worst part.
I know.
Is it's only going to get quicker. However, the other way to battle that, and if, you know, they've used this against us for so long, the government's used this against, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you don't have anything to hide, the police should be releasing their information quicker.
Yes.
Their official information.
Yes.
And there's just no choice at this point. They have to release what information they get as they get it, rather than trying to, because what they released, the police released the photo that showed him like thugged out.
Mm-hmm.
A policeman tweeted the wrong photo of him. It wasn't even him with a gun and a wad of cash smoking marijuana. Wasn't even him, right? Tweeted it with his name. So like the police aren't exactly letting out the correct information either.
Right.
And this is Missouri. Let us not forget where this is.
Yes.
There is definitely a certain color to power in Missouri.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Anyway, that being said, we're fucked up as a nation right now. My heart goes out to the families of Michael Brown. My heart goes out additionally to, I'm going to just go ahead and put in this plug too, because this ALS bucket challenge thing, keep going, guys. People are like, I'm sick of seeing it. Keep going. Okay. And yes, you can care about two things at once. So I do care about Michael Brown. I do care about ALS because it doesn't get a spotlight. It's going to have like 3 weeks and then it's going to be gone again.
Yeah.
Right. But so I was talking to Matt Vansel about a potential bucket challenge we were going to do, and a woman overheard us, and told us thank you because her mother died of ALS.
Mm.
And it's been completely defunded, essentially.
Yeah.
This is a political again, I'm sorry, but Paul Ryan took the bucket challenge, but voted to defund it. Good job, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it uses stem cell research.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that pisses me off about that is those are the exact same stem cell cultures from the 80s. They aren't using new ones.
Nope.
These are already there. Like, George Bush made sure of that. So, fucking just lay off. Let them fucking use these things. Otherwise, guys, they died in vain.
Right.
According to your beliefs. Whatever. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, these are the same strains that have been around forever. So, just fucking let them do their research. Let them improve the lives of people. Quit defunding science and schools and all this other... Ah.
But it's science.
I know, I'm sorry.
It's magical mysticism.
I shouldn't be using the S word.
I know. Please don't. This
yeah.
This is a family-friendly fucking podcast.
Oh, shitberries. anyway, so ALS, keep doing what you do.
Yep.
As far as any challenges extended to Scott and I, Dick,
Mr. Brophy.
Just
we're
know,
doing it right now.
Yeah, sploosh.
As we... Oh, ah, that's cold.
Do know that I am, in fact, contributing to ALSA.org, so that's covered. But it's going to take us more than 2 days because we want to do something good.
Yeah.
So hold off. Know that it's percolating, and it's not going to be boiling water. So percolating was a bad choice of words. But it's chilling. It's chilling, yo.
It's chilling on our brain pans.
Yeah. Going to happen, but keep making the videos because I don't care if they're annoying. It's all of the people complaining wouldn't even think to contribute to that in any way. All the mm-hmm. people saying just shut up and contribute, just shut up and donate. You wouldn't have ever thought about ALS unless it directly touched you,
right?
So the videos are doing something, and it's only going to get, you know, yes, there are a billion things you can give to charity for, like a billion of them. Let this one have its fucking minute in the sun. It's going to go away. The cats will come back. All right? You can start laughing at dogs in human clothes again very soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a parakeet on a skateboard. It's coming. Don't worry. It'll be back. And if you really, really, really hate it, scroll on by.
Yes.
It's almost like it's even faster than changing a channel.
We all don't need your negative opinions.
Well, I live on them.
Well, it's true.
They're like my candy.
We all do.
Yeah.
Because they're fun to just...
It's my harassy taffy. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, hasn't it?
It has been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We should make a new candy called Heckle and Jekylls. Wait, were those the stupid crows from the Tom and
yes.
Jerry show? Okay. Oh, those were racist as shit, weren't they?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
those were terrible. They were like the Disney crows.
Yeah.
Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder the nation's like this? Honestly? Jesus Christ. So, Scott, you are in a play.
I am.
Hopefully not about racist crows. A little bit.
Not about racist crows, no.
Okay.
Not anything to do with racism. However, I was told opening night how topical my performance as the cop was.
Ooh. Did you pepper spray a bunch of college punks?
I choked somebody out on stage with my baton.
That's very, wow. What's his name, Eric? A man was just killed being choked out on the sidewalk again.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, that's fucking crazy. Tell us about the play, though. We're going to simmer back down and come back down to podcast times.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry. I am very fired up about a lot of this.
Yeah.
Very fired up. It does, and here's the thing. It does not affect me directly yet.
Right.
It will.
Yeah.
It does not affect me directly because of what I look like.
Exactly.
And that's fucked up. That being said, because one of the things I always like to say, okay, even when you're being oppressed, there's a certain privilege. Like I can tell a cop, no, you can't have my ID. No, you can't search my car. No, you can't come in without a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally say that. Those are my rights. Those rights kind of just disappear for a certain population. Or two, or three, actually. Like, mm-hmm. for a number of populations.
Most populations other than the one we inhabit, really.
That'd really be... I think Asian... Well, no. There is, in that case, though, an income bracket. For most populations, there's an income bracket, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, sure.
There's... the color green still trumps a lot of shit.
Yes.
But, I mean, there was that guy who was... a fucking professor who was shot to death on his porch. So it's not always income either, but anyway. Middletown. Let's hope we don't blue screen, by the way.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
This would be a great time to do it because of these rants.
Yeah, well, it comes back up. We'll save that sound file.
Another one. We'll talk about the blue screen in a second. By the way, Bill Gates.
Yeah, thanks. Not really Bill Gates. Thanks for that. Spent a lot of money on this computer. So, Middletown is sort of a contemporary our town, if you're familiar with that.
Father Flanagan.
No.
No?
No, our town takes place in... If you can hear that, we're all wondering what that sound is, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone banging on a bed frame.
I thought our town was like the orphans and whatnot at the in the Catholic home. No. No, that's not our town.
No, that's... Princes of New Haven, Kings of New York, or whatever. The Michael Caine thing.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
No.
Okay.
Our town, and to be honest, I know the play. I've seen the play. Couldn't tell you what the play's about, other than...
It's a good play.
They come out, the stage manager's got a fuck ton of lines, he says a lot of things, and then you find out that everyone that you've seen in the play is dead.
Woo!
And it's sort of a historical thing.
Boys Town. That's the movie. That's the play I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Okay, and it takes you know, it's 76 years old and it's not really topical. And Middletown is less than 4 years old, and it's sort of a new take on the fact that we are born and we die, every single one of us, and life happens in between, but nobody seems concerned with what happens in between birth and death. And so this takes I don't know 14, 19 characters.
Jeez.
There are four people who play multiple characters, three to four each. And then there's the cop, which is me, the mechanic, the librarian, and then John Dodge and Mrs. Swanson are the five characters who we only wear one hat. And it's very poignant. It has been very difficult for me because I have a monologue where I have to talk about losing my mom.
Oh, and shit.
Today is a year. And opening night was very cathartic, little too much. Tonight was, I had a lot of support, a lot of the cast knew, and so it was good. I could feel mom there, but it's a really good play that when you read it, you go, they did it at ACT here in Seattle, and everyone who saw it, sorry for anyone listening who might have been in the show, everyone that I have heard that have seen it did not like it, because it played too much into this. It took a very heavy hand, and it looked like a bunch of 30-something hipsters doing this show. And, you know, you need to have weight and gravitas to make all this stuff work. And my favorite thing was the director told us all from jump, before we even had a reading, he said, there is no subtext to any of these characters. They say exactly what they feel. So, as I said, I choke out the mechanic...
Right.
In the opening of the show, and then turn around and say, welcome, and address the audience.
Right.
And what it is it's that conceit that you would have in a movie where Jason Bateman is being yelled at by his boss, and then you cut to the scene where Jason Bateman pulls out a samurai sword and lops his boss's head off, and then it cuts back to the boss going, Bateman, are you listening?
That's
and
awesome.
And then it's Bateman, who's just had this imagining of what could happen.
Right.
And so this is all of that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman playing the mechanic, Mike Dooley, has an opening monologue that is a page and a half.
Oh, wow.
One sentence. And it is, ladies, gentlemen, young, old, misfits, miscreants.
Nice he Dickensian
just,
sort
he
of.
He just keeps going
right.
on the time, teeth, hair. Ladies, gentlemen, I know I'm missing somebody. I'm friends. And it's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful thing. And it's really an awesome show. The ensemble cast is amazing. And yeah, it's been really good. We just finished our first week. So if you're in the area, and apparently I will give a shout out to Mr. Dougie Sharp, who is already planning on driving from Tri-Cities on the Highway 12 to come over here
Whoop.
And see the show.
Oh yeah. Do it, Dougie.
So, yeah.
Wow. So my week was, it was Gen Con. It was Gen Con before it was Gen Con. It's been Gen Con since it was Gen Con. I do want to bring up that at Gen Con we announced ZoeCon 2.
We did.
With the graphic, ZoeCon 1.
Awesome.
Yeah, it hasn't been fixed yet. I don't have access to fix it. Whatevs. But if you go to, I want to say it's ZoeCon.net, but I'm not entirely sure on that. Seth?
Check out the Zombie Orpheus.
Check out the Zombie Orpheus Facebook page.
Facebook page. Or
we are
Seth's
selling
link.
Tickets. The tickets sell in tiers, so once we break a certain tier, it changes how we plan the con.
Oh, okay.
Because we get to basically break into a new tier worth of money that allows mm-hmm. us to do more of the con. Again, a non-profit con, everything goes to the con. So
right.
Very important to note. In fact, I think we're probably putting a little bit into it ourselves.
Yeah,
frankly. But your very own Scott C. Brown, Brian Lewis, and myself will be personally planning a lot of fun activities.
We will be. I mean,
yeah,
we
I don't
be.
Even care. I don't even care.
I mean,
if we're not,
yeah, we will be.
I don't even care if it's not official. We will be.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna get some stuff going.
Yeah.
In fact, we might have something very special to film. At ZoeCon 2.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's going to be better this time, I promise.
Okay.
I got a plan.
As long as it doesn't smell anymore.
It always smells. You should wash it first.
People outside the studio. That's awesome. Well, let's get rid of that one. Yeah, and it still doesn't go away.
No, it still doesn't go away. Oh, people. They're great, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm going to go check on that.
All right. It might be your car. Well, anyway, while Scott is out checking his car and almost dying due to...
No, it's the taxi.
Of course it's the taxi. Of course it is. Uber, let's lobby for more cars.
Yeah.
All right. So, additionally...
This will go on for about 5 minutes.
I know. People are stupid. And this person is stupid. There we go. Asshole.
Might come back, though.
I'm sure it will. It's probably something he sat on.
Yeah.
Ben's car does that all the time. It just does it spontaneously, too.
Huh.
It's completely spontaneous. There's a problem with there. So, that's nice and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Notice we leapt out of here to see if anything was happening to the car. So, really, they're pointless.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, because if something was happening to the car, we would have called someone. So they're not pointless. They're just that one was pointless.
Well, right, but they have the ones that just, you know, vibrate your particular thing and say
right.
someone's fucking with your car.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good because now they don't know that I know. So now I can go get them in trouble, but no.
It's revenge-based. So, additionally... there are now two super secret projects going on with the group.
Okay.
So let me talk about Gen Con first to kind of get that
sure.
going on. So if you don't know, we premiered three films at Gen Con. We premiered Dark Dungeons, which sold out both its inaugural show and its follow-up show, 400 seats each.
Wow.
Sold them out with an additional 120 seats that we also filled with general public.
Mm-hmm.
Both completely packed houses.
Now, did they have to buy into it?
They did have to buy into it. They were $10 tickets for the first one.
Oh,
the very
okay.
first premiere was $10 tickets. And those $10 ticket holders will be getting a patch in the mail.
Nice.
We're working out... So Scott actually designed the patch. And we are working out a... So Gen Con has all their email addresses. So what we do is we send them the ticket stub numbers, and then they will email them for us and send them to a site where they can sign up and get their patches.
Sweet.
Humans and Households sold out.
Awesome.
Which was really cool. Natural One was a 4/5 packed house.
Sweet.
So that was great. And Gamers Live was fucking nuts.
That's what
Gamers Live went crazy. Additionally, a 10 p.m. on Saturday showing of Hands of Fate was a half-packed house.
Wow.
I know. Crazy. It was insane. As far as the new movies go, first of all, Scott and I were both integral in getting Humans and Households and Natural One, to a lesser
yep.
extent, out the door. The DVD, definitely 100%, but
yeah.
Scott produced the entire back half of that, of Humans and Households. Everything shot in Seattle, Scott produced, catered, did everything for.
Except tracked props.
Except tracked props. That's a long story. And then post-production was essentially 100% me.
Yes.
There was a little bit of assist from a couple of other people. We paid for sound. Stevie mm-hmm. Wolbrecht stepped up and did an amazing score.
Yeah, he did.
I organized all of the post. I got Ben locked into a room to color correct it. Finished up the edit alongside him. Got the footage because it was in limbo for 5 months.
Yep.
We did not have it for 5 months. I finally got that. And it turns out it wasn't in limbo. It was on an unmarked drive at Zoe. We thought it was in limbo. It was in a drawer, essentially, that I didn't have access to. So we finally found it, tracked it down, got the footage, got everything relinked, and ran like a beast to get post done on it. I did special effects. They're not great, but they're fine, you know, for Humans and Households.
Yeah, they're great.
And then Natural One, of course, was all done in Canada
mm-hmm.
via Lynn Vander. So Tom and his team completed all the special effects and color grading and whatnot. We got commentaries recorded like in a week.
Yep.
Which is almost impossible. I hand wrote all of the subtitles for both shows.
Mm-hmm.
I did all the subtitle timing. I put those on the disc. It's like that's not the easiest thing in the world. Did a ton of interactive menus for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Including animated menus.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
They look awesome.
So we got the disc out. I created the cover. So Tom created the cover for Natural One. I created the mock cover for Humans and Households, which then Connor Marks did a slightly more DVD-friendly layout for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Rob Carlos come in. This is seriously like the last minute. He came in and drew us a digital piece of artwork for the front of that. If you haven't seen it yet, the Natural One box, or I'm sorry, the Humans and Households side of the Natural One, Humans and Households DVD, looks like the Red Box.
Yeah, it does.
For the old Larry Elmore Red Box. So we have our Game Master as the dragon and our heroes in their in-game fighting the Game Master. And it's a really cool, evocative cover, I think.
Yeah.
It's probably just because I made it. But And that actually sold discs to people who'd never heard of anything we'd done. It was really cool. They'd walk by and they go, "Oh, I recognize that. Wait, what is this?"
So my drive to Salem, or not Salem, Tacoma.
Totally worth it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Of course, Dark Dungeons just blew the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Ain't It Cool News right now, The Verge, The Mary Sue. interesting enough, Jack Chick, like satire, this isn't a satire. Unless Jack Chick is a satire, which is still a question that people don't know. Nobody's sure.
Mm-hmm.
They don't say he is, though. But anyway, this is not a satire. This is a straightforward, non-parody piece. We did it straight because there's no other way you could do Dark Dungeons.
Right.
It has to be played straight because the subject matter speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, all of the weirdness around it, the lead characters are all female. In the chick track. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lead characters are female. They've got male supporting father figures, which is, you know, but whatever. It passes the Bechdel test almost immediately. The female characters aren't, they're, you know, it's not about some gigantic saved by, well, I mean, ultimately, I guess it is saved by a man because Jesus has junk, you know, but, right. So it's just, it's very interesting. There was a universal boo in two of our movies, which was really interesting to watch.
Really?
In Dark Dungeons, and I don't think I'm spoiling this for anyone, but spoiler alert, okay? Tune out and tune in and back in about 30 seconds. They burn a shit ton of RPGs at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Okay, those were donated to us by Paizo,
mm-hmm.
and most were misprints. Huge boo. People were not happy. And, you know, I mean, it's an emotional scene for a lot of people. For me, mine were burned by my mother.
Oh.
I had an entire box of RPGs, including one I wrote, burned by her. So, yeah, that's a thing. Very, very evocative. Additionally, in Humans and Households, spoiler alert, another 30 seconds, when the dog gets killed. People, we had someone come up to the booth and say, I can't buy it because of that.
Wow.
And so I explained, as I do, because I work with the people. I take the information from the developers. And no.
Right.
So I basically explained, you're going on your adventures and you're leaving all of these like orc and goblin children fatherless and motherless. Because you're just randomly... Did you ask them if, you know, they're a decent part of their community?
Right.
No, you're slaughtering them because they're goblins. You have no idea. So that's the same thing. That's exactly what this is, you know?
It's a cute and cuddly kobold.
Holy shit, people didn't... Some people didn't. And it got a universal boo. But a boo that was... Universal boo, but you could tell a lot of it was just like, oh, come on.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Natural One had a fairly good reception as well. In fact, I'd say about 30% of the people coming to the booth preferred Natural One to Humans and Households, which was interesting. 30% preferred Humans and Households to Natural One, and 40% were even on both. So, very good bell curve on that. Good value on the disc, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we sold Dark Dungeons for $10.
Wow.
Oh, it was a huge deal. There were some problems. The replicator had some issues with the discs, so a lot of our stock couldn't be sold.
Mm.
But I think we damn near sold out of everything we could on,
wow.
on that. Yeah,
nice.
We did very well this year. So
yeah,
gave away a lot of Renard minis. Got asked a lot about the pile of dead bards. A lot of people wanted that mini.
And they don't have them anymore?
Mm, no, we may need to get some recast because they're really popular.
Yeah.
So
well, of course they are.
Of course, everyone likes to see you dead.
Yes.
Yeah. It wouldn't be popular if it was just Flynn.
Two ex-wives that like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't be popular if it was just Flynn. It's got to be a pile of dead Flynns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, despite what
no one wants me holding the mandolin and the sword in my hand. No, they want a pile of dead me.
Yeah. Despite what Tron says, Flynn does not live.
No.
Nope. So yeah, Gen Con. But out of Gen Con. We half announced the new Zombie Orpheus production, Strowlers.
Half announced.
Well, the trailer wasn't quite finished yet. It'll keep your eye out. It'll come out with full effects and everything. But we did an advanced screening of that, and it got a lot of people very excited. The cool thing about Strowlers is it's just a licensing platform on which you can build whatever you want.
Right.
So people can produce in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we will, obviously, Zombie Orpheus will, Dead Gentleman will, maybe Two Bards will, I don't know, will produce in this universe, but you don't have to pay any royalties back and you get to monetize it. It's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of a cool, sort of just free free world sort of thing. So that got announced. And then Super Secret Project number one got teased, but not teased. If you want to know more, come to ZoeCon.
Okay.
Because we will... And you know what Super Secret Project number one is, right? I'll explain that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, you do.
No.
You probably do.
Okay.
Anyway, and then there's Super Secret Project number two, which just kicked off this week, which I just told you about before this.
Oh,
which
okay.
we also can't talk about.
Uh-huh.
But that has been this entire week for me.
Oh, okay.
After work, it's been awesome, is what it's been. It's been really cool. So you guys are going to like all of those projects.
Yeah.
Because
I know at least one of them you're going to like.
They'll like both.
I'm sure you'll like both.
They'll like both, for sure.
Only so, one.
Yeah, and other than that, let's see. Friday night, I went and observed a special podcast with Pike and Josie.
Mm-hmm.
She had her cousin on.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun to watch and not participate in. Just watched it. So keep your ears out for that in a couple of weeks, I think.
Okay.
We'll share it. Don't worry. And yeah, I made it home alive, mostly.
Sweet. That's good.
Feet aching, body aching, back hurts. But I'm here.
Sweet.
Yep. So should we get to some questions?
Well, I thought I'd throw a little Spokon action out there. If
this is what I think it is, this is awesome.
So, the good people over at Spokon...
We love you.
Because I had one day off in 2 weeks from Middletown. They decided to fly me out.
Woo!
And I got on a twin prop plane.
Oh, I thought they flew you out like Luck Dragon.
No.
Oh.
No, I had to get on a regular plane. But I'd never walked on the tarmac to get on a plane.
It feels very presidential.
Presidential and scary.
Yeah.
But the flight over was awesome because it was like maybe 25% capacity.
Oh, nice. Spread out.
And I had the whole thing. It was great. I mean, it's, you know, two seats on either side and
not very
big. But, I mean, it's like we went up. I had a chance
to... Had a drink.
I had a drink and we landed and I was like, wow, we're here already? They had to chase me off the plane. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Coming back from Spokane to Seattle, packed to the fucking gills.
Yeah, of course.
But, The one day I was there, it was a whirlwind day. I had a 2-hour acting workshop that I did and got in the double digits of participants.
Nice.
For most of the 2 hours, which was awesome. And that was a lot of fun, and I think we're going to turn it into something even more next year. Randy and I have been talking about what his plan for that was, and this was just sort of a... to sort of seed it and see how it went.
Right. Well, next year I'm going to be there beside you.
Yes.
So.
And then we did the Mad Marmot Live, which is right after the opening ceremonies. It's a late night talk show host type deal where the four main guests come up and are interviewed by me, and then we have other guests. We had, I don't know how many, we had 2 hours to do this. We had a director who had everything lined out, but nobody had a script, including myself, so I was making it up as we go.
Nice.
And we came in a minute short.
Wow. That's amazing.
We did a 2-hour program in an hour 59.
That's amazing.
It was great. And then we had the scotch competition.
Uh-huh, and?
Had 11 scotches this year. We got an extra bump. And for 5 years in a row, I have the fan favorite scotch.
We're fist bumping right now because that's amazing.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Lot of fun had by all. It was great seeing people. And
yeah, I really missed
them.
Thank
you very much.
I missed them a lot.
Yeah.
It sucked. I know that you know, Tim posted about missing. Like I you know, Tim and Randy both, awesomely enough, said, you know, hey. And yeah, it was definitely I was assured that next year it will not be on the same weekend as Gen Con.
Yes. In fact, it may not be in the same month because WorldCon...
WorldCon!
...will also be in Spokane. And so there's...
Yeah. Now, that is where all of the aliens show up. And and they cosplay as humans?
I think so.
Right.
Yeah. The different worlds all...
The different worlds all right are represented.
Converge, yeah.
Right. The opening ceremonies are probably going to be in, like, Relian this year.
I think so.
God. I got to pre-order my Babelfish.
Yeah, because that's the only way.
Oh, last time I got one and they said it was too small. It fell right out.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was wearing it because, you know, sometimes I don't understand, like, you know, what Aaron's saying.
Yeah.
So I just kind of shoved it in there so I could just get the direct mental link and fell asleep. I think I swallowed it.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... it's my fault. I didn't, don't understand sewing terms or really anything when I'm asleep or half asleep, which is most of my life.
Yeah.
So... I'm kidding. She's actually a very technical person and is lovely, and we don't have any
problems. Of course
problems.
She is. I know.
And any problems we have communicating are definitely my fault.
No, communication is a two-way street.
What was that?
Communication isn't. Tiffany writes from Twitter, if you were a useless superhero, what would your name and powers be?
I'd be the Coalator, and my power would be I could organize loose papers 1.5 times faster than the average human.
Wow.
Pretty useless, huh?
Yeah.
But the name is so good, the Coalator.
And I like it. I would
one,
be
three,
the...
13579. That's right, because they're double-sided, motherfucker.
Coalated. I would be the APJ.
Oh, yeah?
The average paying job.
That's a pretty good... In this economy, that is a superpower.
It is.
That really
especially
is a
superpower. Especially if you're in Seattle, probably in 3 months.
Oh.
So I'm really hoping that passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my answer. Do you want to take the next one? Can you read
that
for
so
me?
Tiffany also says, I recently discovered that my professional wrestling name would be No Holds Barred, B-A-R-D. What would your names be? Well, that, first of all... That's our name. That's our word.
Yeah.
Jeez.
How dare you?
Do you want to take the first one? We could be BJ and the Bear, but I don't want to be BJ.
Twin Towers? Too soon?
It doesn't even make sense.
I know.
If we were like super tall and thin, sure.
Yeah.
But we'd go down super easy.
Right.
You know, if anybody like came off the turnbuckle, we'd be dead.
Right.
We'd just collapse.
But we don't.
No. Well, we'd collapse, but it really wouldn't be us. The referee would actually be pushing us down or tying our shoes together or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Conspiracy. Let's see, what would I be? What would I be if I... Just any wrestler... I don't know. I'd probably be like generally polite Piper.
I was just going to say, I would resurrect Rowdy Roddy Piper or...
He's still alive.
Macho Man gonna... Savage.
No,
the name.
Oh, okay.
I would... I
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Step into a Slim Jim.
He was also... oh, man, you know who I miss, right?
I would
Sergeant
be the Gravitator.
Slaughter.
So, yeah.
The Gravitator.
Graviator. What a... Yeah.
Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I miss Sergeant Slaughter. He was in G.I. Joe, man. He was like the crossover character.
Yeah.
I don't know how Hasbro and WWF... Because it was WWF. And I'm sorry, there were no pandas. Yeah. There were just big, sweaty men who would punch their foreheads open with razor blades. That's all there were.
Yes.
That's what WWF is.
Yeah.
World Wildlife Fund. Frankly, nobody knew that there was another WWF until they could have just changed their name and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it did lead to an amazing shirt. The panda hitting the other panda with a chair. You know. So.
I haven't seen that shirt, but
it's
I would
a
like
good
to
shirt.
Own that shirt.
Yeah.
Thomas Brophy, as always, writes in and brings up the mood of the house. Tragic news about Robin Williams, who passed away on the 11th of August.
Mm-hmm.
How did his work affect you personally / professionally?
So, I've already made a Facebook post on this.
Yeah, you did.
And
which was awesome.
Seth,
you should go read it.
If you want a link to that, that's most of what I have to say. I will say this. Robin Williams deeply, deeply impacted me, as I believe he did almost everybody, not just in the industry, but just worldwide. I mean, Robin Williams... Everybody has a story of how a Robin Williams character or Robin Williams himself touched their lives in some way. Mm-hmm. All the way from my parents with Mork and Mindy, you know, to my kids with Aladdin. Like, everybody knew Robin Williams,
yeah.
You know? And so his death definitely blindsided me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about me. Yeah, it's not about anyone. It's about, you know, him and his troubles and sort of what he was going through. And now that more light has been shed on it, I will say that this is one case where the media actually was very cautious.
Yeah.
And they waited. I think TMZ jumped the gun, but then they always do.
Mm-hmm.
With the asphyxiation thing. I think they were trying to get a bent, like, oh, autoerotic maybe? We don't know.
Right.
But it came out that he hung himself and that the likelihood is that his Parkinson's medication was causing some problems, and that's very common.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very common for neural meds to cause depression and suicidal tendencies, and even if that wasn't it, or even if it exacerbated it, Henry Rollins, you're a fucking asshole. I'll just put that out there right now. You don't spit on someone's grave like that. And go
I
nuts.
Don't know what Henry would
do. Oh, Henry Rollins went out publicly and started talking about how it's a cowardly thing to do and how he abandoned his children and all this stuff. And they don't fucking need that. Not from you.
Yeah.
Seriously. Fucking, I'm sorry MTV tanked. Find another fucking job. And stop being a prick. You know, I've lost all respect for you. As a celebrity. You're just... You know, I mean, I used to be interested in what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
That just pretty much fucking killed it for me. Suicide is a symptom.
Yeah.
It is a symptom of something else. And calling someone weak for doing that, for succumbing to a symptom, is bullshit. It's just like not being able to breathe because your lungs are full of liquid.
Yeah.
It is a fucking symptom, and, you know, don't be a dick. You know, fucking Zelda just lost her goddamn dad. You know, and now she's got to see pricks like you doing this. It's fucking bullshit. It's and what's even worse is the worst parts of the internet came out too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you heard about this, but they were tweeting to Zelda specifically pictures, Photoshop pictures of her father, of corpses with her father's face Photoshopped on them and shit. So there are parts of I'm not into violence personally.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely parts of humanity that I would not shed a tear over should they be cut out.
Yeah.
So. But yes, touch me deeply. He's one of the... He's kind of the youngest of the post-Bruce comedians that really, really changed the game. You know, Richard Pryor. Gilda Radner burned out first.
Mm-hmm.
That was tragic. I remember crying over that. Pryor had, I think, MS, right, or MD, muscular dystrophy, or multiple sclerosis.
Can't remember.
I forget.
Yeah,
he had one of the M's, and that was terrible because we got to watch him die,
mm-hmm.
and that was terrifying. Carlin just went,
yeah,
but that one hit me hard, like really, really hard. Pryor hit me really hard too, but Pryor was sick for a long time, and. It sounds kind of macabre, but being sick for a long time kind of makes it easier in a way.
Yeah.
Because then you also feel like, well, at least there's no more pain. You know, and then you've got the new post-Bruce that I never got into a lot, but like Clay and Kinison and fucking Tim Allen's kind of in that group. And, you know, like they're cool. I think the only current comedian that really represents the old group is Louis C.K. Mm. Because there's just no one else really captures that sort of anti-establishment feel, and Louis C.K. does it in a completely like, you know, I am getting paid for this sort of way. He's very mm-hmm. honest about that. But yeah, Robin Williams was definitely that was tough to watch because, you know, I had records of his stand-up that I would play. I used to watch Mork and Mindy. I watched the fucking cartoon. And that was a travesty. I don't even think it was his voice. I think it was probably like Lorenzo Music or something doing his voice. Terrible. But I watched it. So, yep, it hurt. And I wish his family the best. Thanks, Brophy. How about you, Scott?
I'm just going to move on.
Okay.
Just Not today.
Not today.
Dennis writes in, food fight with about 50 people. What kind of food would you make available for such an event? Mashed potatoes.
That was the first place I went to. Mashed potatoes. Though, I'm also kind of an asshole. So, like, some type of stone fruit. Like unripe peaches would be good. You know what would be really funny?
Oranges.
No, forget it.
Lemon lime.
Let's, instead of thinking about hitting people, think about the throwing. Plantains. Those would be, like, really difficult.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know? And I'm talking the plantains, not the little tiny bananas, but the actual plantains, right, that are hard and, like,
yeah,
they're unbalanced.
Broccoli.
Broccoli would be great. Broccoli and oh, how about a cauliflower fight in the middle of winter?
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Limited supply. You got to go find it.
Go find it. No cheddar on it either.
No.
It's like napalm.
Paul Moran writes in, do you think video game RPGs are a decent substitute when you can't play tabletop? Which are your most and least favorites?
Absolutely. They are totally viable. I like some of the MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a card guy, but if I were a card guy, that world is frankly better than tabletop, in my opinion.
Mm.
Playing Magic with like the virtual deck. You know, some people like to shuffle. I get that. But you can, like, be in your own house with the smells of vanilla instead of the smells of butt crack. You can, you know. So card games, I think, CCGs especially, are, like, really, really well represented. But standard RPGs, Shadowrun, it's awesome. It's great. It's perfectly, perfectly, you know, playable and wonderful. Neverwinter Nights was good. D&D Online's hit or miss. But, you know, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of great video game RPGs, and I think that the experiences are different.
Yeah.
You know? You don't sit down and play, you know, like, well, like Neverwinter Nights. I guess you can play with other people. I don't know. Diablo is a very social game. Like, you can play that with four people on a LAN, and that's fun. But nobody has a LAN anymore, so.
Yeah. I would have to say I'm going back to coin-op games and go Gauntlet.
Gauntlet! You know what else is good? Remember the old D&D side-scrolling RPG? Or side-scrolling adventure game?
No.
Oh, man, I've got it.
Atari?
No. Stand-up arcade.
Oh.
So it was D&D, and you could choose the four major classes, and you level up and everything in the game, but it was a quarter eater. I mean, it just ate fucking quarters. I think Capcom did the publishing on it.
Okay.
I have it. It's great. I love it. They have it on Xbox. I think you have it because it's on my old Xbox.
Oh, okay.
So,
sweet.
Fucking awesome.
I have to play that.
Yeah.
Dennis
Nickel asks, are you pissed?
Kind of.
And finally, Paula Moran asks, Andy, what did you enjoy most at Gen Con, and did you get any sleep? Let me answer the second half of that first. No. I got a little bit. Not as much as I would have liked.
Yes.
But that's Gen Con. It's hot and humid in Indiana. Actually, this room feels like what Indiana feels like all the time.
Yeah.
It's just moist and annoying, and it smells so bad. Indianapolis has their sewer line running right under their downtown area, so it smells like a porta potty 24/7.
Yep.
And I, you know, lovely people, et cetera, et cetera. Your town is gross. It smells bad.
And drink bottled water.
And oh my God, drink bottled water. Even the restaurants, like, they'll serve tap, and it's just the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
There is not enough cold to make that okay, because it tastes gross. Mm-hmm. It just tastes foul.
Yeah.
So that was the last part. The first part is, what did I enjoy most? Meeting friends, including Paula Moran.
What?
I know.
She was there.
Her and her husband came by. She gave us gifts that you will see next week, because next week we will be doing our video, our vodcast again.
Right.
So you will see the awesome gifts Paula Moran made for us. They are fucking fantastic.
I can't wait.
No, you can't. It's amazing.
Thank you, Paula.
And we're going to... You'll see.
Okay.
Right now they're with Trin because I didn't have a way to safely transport them home. So I've got to get them back from Trin, but they're fucking cool. In fact, I'm actually rearranging my house a little bit to host them, or to host mine. You're going to keep yours, but I'm going to host mine at my house. So seeing friends that I just don't get to see.
Yeah.
Let's see, there were the Purdue's. Got to see those guys. Got to see Jamie Chambers. Jim Wrench. Got to see him. God, I'm going to forget names, but there are shit tons of people who showed up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sarah Moore and her clan came down. Jeff, got to see Jeff Moore as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of people from the industry side. It was great seeing Rob Hunt, who, by the way, did the titles for Humans and Households, the opening titles. So
nice.
Which you should go check out. And I forgot to plug it, by the way. WatchTheGamers.com and DarkDungeonsOfTheMovie.com. You can go buy digital... Buy the DVD for Humans and Households and Natural One just to have the DVD experience. However, drop the extra cash on the digital copy that's 1080p. It's beautiful.
Mm.
So, go check those out. But, yeah, Rob Hunt did that. I got to see Kevin Mickelson and Amanda. Fuck, so many people I got to see. It was great.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's what I miss the most.
Let's see, Clint Black. Saw Jen... because she was there for Project London. Side note on that, you guys probably have heard this already, but The Gamer's Hands of Fate won Best Feature Film of Gen Con this
year.
Which means Jen starred in back-to-back Feature Film of Gen Con winners, Gamers and Project London. So that was really cool. She and Max Holacek were there, and it was really cool seeing them. Rival was there. Let's see... Oh, I got to see Ivan Van Norman, who I don't get to see very often because he lives in California, but he used to come up. We met at ZombieCon. Really cool guy. I got to see... I just got to see a bunch of people. Like, I'm sorry if I've forgotten you. I did want to give a special shout-out. Two special shout-outs. First, to Alex Poorman. Mm. You were a goddamn trooper, and if it were not for him, I'd probably be dead. Because he brought me water and food and was the only person to do it.
Wow. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex, so much. Two, Steve Malik and his friend Elizabeth stopped by. And Steve stopped by dressed as the best fucking Ned Stark I have ever seen outside of the actual Ned Stark costume.
Yeah.
It was goddamn perfect.
Steve's pretty amazing at the cosplay.
I'm just going to say this. As he walked down the halls, more than winter was coming.
Well, there we go.
Indeed. So, and many more. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. There were so many people.
Yeah.
I cannot remember everybody. But it was awesome seeing all of you.
I can't remember their names when I see them.
Yeah, those people. And again, it was just an awesome Gen Con. I am brain blown from it still. To give you guys an idea, I opened the booth the first day. I had to be there at 8 because we opened for VIPs at 9 and then general at 10. Mm-hmm. Every other day I had to be there at 9. And I was there from 9 and then I had to run screenings until midnight. So, and I generally had a 1 hour break in there, but that had a problem two of the days as well. So it was... stressful, and my brain is still mush.
Wow.
So, hopefully I'll get it all back together and be able to thank the right people.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I thank Paula, and Paula's the one who gave me all the cool shit.
There you go. So. And they all saw you, and they know that you thank them, because they know that you saw them.
Yep.
When you were, or were not,
yep.
coherent.
Yep. Oh, and then something that has never happened to me before finally happened. Because we got our flight got canceled, we ended up at the Dead Dog. The Dead Dog is the party after the con.
Oh.
So, first of all, congratulations to Derek Gruder, who got engaged at Gen Con.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was amazing. He had a special, like, module addendum created for his character and his fiance, and they had, like, special married perks and stuff, and then he made a bunch of cards for different games. It was really cool. Anyway, but went to the Dead Dog, and someone's like, hey, and I'm with Trent, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll move so you can talk to Trent. No, he was totally after me. It was so cool.
Nice.
He's like, oh, you're hemophiliac, you dickwad. I'm like, oh, yeah, he really hit me. He didn't. That's a joke. But
nice.
Yep. A lot of fun. I wish you could have been there. yep. Scott. But I also wish I could have been at Spokane. We just need two more bards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get those stem cells going.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you know cloning technology.
Please.
Or if you can create a paradox where us from slightly in the future or slightly in the past or even a parallel universe could come together and we could have four of us, that would be very helpful. Come on our podcast.
By the way, I'm catching up on Cosmos on Netflix because it's on there.
And it's great.
And you know what day he picked out in the cosmic calendar if we set it to a year?
Is it your birthday?
Yep.
Oh my God, really?
Yep.
Nice.
And I can't remember what it was, but I think it was pre-dinosaur. It might have been the first thing that came out of the water.
Nice.
Happened on my birthday, and I was just like, ah! That's awesome.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, come on the podcast and tell me more things that happened on my birthday in the cosmic calendar of our universe.
Just come on the podcast, man.
Yeah.
We'll make you pie. 3.14159.